Good morning, Your Honors.
Mr. Cotton.
Good morning, Your Honors. Attorney Anthony Cotton appearing on behalf of the appellant, Alberto Rodriguez. We're here today because Judge Clavert imposed a sentence that was procedurally unreasonable. Mr. Rodriguez appeared in front of the court for sentencing, and at the time of sentencing, defense counsel asked the court to impose a sentence of 8 days initial confinement followed by a period of 4 years of supervised release. At the time of sentencing, the defense offered the court, I guess I should be specific that under 3553, the courts are required to consider the types of sentences available in particular cases. And at the time of sentencing, the defense went through the various reasons why that type of sentence was appropriate in this given case. We went through Mr. Rodriguez's history, his characteristics, his background, his family, and all of the factors that 3553 states that a court should consider at sentencing. And under Cunningham, in the line of cases that have followed from this court since that point, courts are to give meaningful consideration to non-frivolous sentencing arguments that are made at the time of sentencing. And in this case, the record is clear that Judge Clavert did not even mention the proposal that had been made on behalf of Mr. Rodriguez. The extent of the court's sentencing reasoning on the transcript is a page and a half. And the things that Judge Clavert said at the time of sentencing to support his ultimate sentence of 37 months.
Counsel, why does a judge have to say separately, I think 8 days too low, when the judge, by sentencing the defendant for 30 to 37 months, has indicated rather clearly that he thinks 8 days too low?
And what a court is required to do...
It's redundant.
I'm sorry?
It's redundant.
Under Cunningham, the line of cases that have come after that, courts are to give meaningful consideration to arguments that are made by defense counsel. Our central argument...
But wait a minute.
I don't know why you're citing Cunningham in light of the Supreme Court's decision in Rita. It seems to me the argument you're making is the very argument that Part 2 of Rita disapproved, which is to say that the judge must separately address each of the defendant's arguments. And Rita, that argument was made to the Supreme Court and it lost. Not clear to me why your argument is different.
Well, we're not saying that the court is required to, and I think the government cites this case, United States versus Page, which came down from this court, and the government points out that a court isn't required to say and address each of the specific comments that are made by defense counsel at the time of sentencing. But what we have here is a silent record as to whether or not the court even considered the
but
types of
sentence. I don't think it is silent, because what Judge Clavert does say is that Mr. Rodriguez was much more involved in this drug operation than he was. I mean, the court just evaluated as, he said, more than minimal, not in a guideline sense. But he's saying you're kind of in the center of this. You're not the worst. You're not the least culpable. And the court is giving you the reasons why a guideline sentence strikes him as the appropriate thing. I think the judge is quite aware that there were, in fact, mitigating arguments. He acknowledges them. But he says, ultimately, you put a lot of people at risk. There's a lot of marijuana. There was even some cocaine floating around there in the background. So I don't know why. It's a little kind of a corollary of what Judge Easterbrook was saying. If he explains why the sentence he chooses is an appropriate one, I don't know why he has to add, and that's why all the other sentences aren't appropriate.
Right. And again, the problem in this case is that those things that Your Honor mentions in terms of what Judge Clavert identified at the time in his one page or page and a half of reasoning, those points were already known to the court before the sentencing hearing. The fact that it involved a marijuana conspiracy, the fact that Mr. Rodriguez was involved in the marijuana conspiracy were all known.
Why does that make them inappropriate things to mention?
They're not inappropriate things to mention. That's one of the 3553 factors for the court to consider, mm-hmm. is the nature of the offense and what was involved in the actual crime. And we don't dispute that Judge Clavert clearly on the record addressed the nature of the offense itself. The problem is that under the line of cases that have come down from this court, a judge at the time of sentencing is to give meaningful consideration to non-frivolous sentencing arguments that are being made. And it appears from this record that there's no mention by the court whatsoever of the central proposal that was offered by the defense at the time of sentencing. And I think the problem from a sort of a public openness perspective is that it's not really clear from the transcript why the arguments made by defense counsel were rejected. We know that it's a marijuana case, as you point out, Your Honor, and we know that it's a case involving a defendant who was involved in the marijuana case, and we know that he's criminal history category one, as evidenced by his lack of prior record. But all the other factors,
he also knew that it was a case where he was getting a major discount from the statutory minimum sentence here. So that's an important factor, I would
think. Right. The defendant was safety valve eligible because he had cooperated and because he hadn't been convicted of crimes previously. And so we know that Judge Clavert imposed a 37-month prison sentence, and we know that the client or the defendant was statutorily eligible for a safety valve reduction. We also know that involved a marijuana conspiracy. The problem from a openness or public perspective is that when you read the reasoning of the court, one is left to wonder whether the court even considered the arguments that were being made for a sentence that's legally available, a sentence that
would have... Why would he have said, as he does at the top of page 13 of the sentencing transcript, "It is therefore the judgment of this court that a guideline sentence is appropriate"? That suggests he knew it wasn't automatic. It was appropriate, is the word he uses, and he particularly says, "I'm going to stay within the guidelines," more or less. But to me, that suggests he's well aware that he doesn't have to.
I don't know what this record in terms of what Judge Clavert said is very sparse.
But he does say what I just read.
Right. But I don't think that distinguishes this case from any other sentencing case that would appear in front of
him. It distinguishes it from a lot of them. Sometimes judges say, "I think I have to give this sentence," or sometimes judges, you know, don't in some clear way signal, "I have made a conscious choice to stay within the guidelines." That's very helpful on appellate review because, you know, tells you the judge thought about it.
Right, and I guess what I'm saying is that the fact that the court imposed a guideline sentence or imposed a sentence that was different than what we asked for doesn't make that case any different than any other person who would come up on appeal to this court. The problem is the reasoning. We don't know from this record whether the court, it would appear from this record that the court did not give meaningful consideration to the 3553 factors. The court focuses almost exclusively on what the offense involved, the fact that it was a marijuana case, the fact that it was a conspiracy, the fact that Mr. Rodriguez was involved in the conspiracy, all points that at the time of the plea were made to the court. So when it's looked at globally, and I think part of the reason why this court issues the and I do focus on Cunningham because I think this is a procedural issue that we have here. But when we look at Cunningham and even Arbery, which recently came down by this court, we have a requirement imposed on the district courts that at the time they sentence a person, that they analyze the 3553 factors and that they give meaningful consideration to non-frivolous arguments being made by defense counsel, which is exactly what we were doing in this case, and the record is silent on that point.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Jacobs.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Judge Clavert did give meaningful consideration to virtually all of the sentencing arguments made by defense counsel, including compliance on bond. He asked the probation department about it in the middle of the sentencing hearing. He referenced it in the statement of reasons in the judgment. The defendant's personal characteristics and history, criminal history, alcohol abuse, all of those things. Obviously, the offense conduct, you've talked about that already, and safety valve. That's what this court's decisions, that's what Rita, all of those cases require the court to do in coming to an appropriate sentence, whether it be a guideline sentence or not. What no case requires is that the court, as Judge Easterbrook, as you indicated, sort of say the defense counsel recommendation and then reject it, or even, I would say, more expose its sort of deliberative process or its balancing of all of these factors in coming to the appropriate sentence. Judge Clavert did exactly what is required by case law, and for that reason, I would ask that the sentence of the district court be affirmed. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any. Otherwise, thank you for your time.
Anything further, counsel? There isn't much to respond to.
The government seemed to indicate that the court isn't required to explain its deliberative process at the time of sentencing, but that's exactly what is required of the district court. That's the important part of what occurs, and that's why under 3553, the courts are to consider not only the nature of the offense and what the crime involved, but also the characteristics of the defendant, and under E3, the types of sentences available. It's our position, Your Honors, that Judge Clavert's reasoning on this record is silent in terms of what his reasoning was with respect to the argument made by defense counsel, and we would ask that this case be remanded for resentencing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.